Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday School Hour for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
When last we left Daniel and his three friends, we realized that they had made an intentional effort not to defile themselves in the midst of a culture around them that was forcing things that would cause them to violate their commitment to God. So they stood, rather than bowing, rather than adopting what society said they needed to do and what their culture told them they needed to do, they remained faithful to God. Now, as we examined last week, this separated Daniel and his three friends. This separated them. Now, the separation that we pointed out last week was not just a separation from the world. It was actually a separation between them and other individuals who were supposed to be God's people. So that's the point that we made last week, is one that we sometimes forget, because we live in an age of compromise. Would y'all agree that we live in a time of great compromise in our world today? In fact, there are many individuals who claim to follow Christ. There are many individuals who put upon themselves the name of being a Christian, who sadly live a life of compromise. They kind of have one foot in God. I mean, it's that place to say, I want enough God so I feel like my eternity is secure in Him, but not so much that it kind of puts a crimp in my style. Not so much that it impacts my life. Not so much that it impedes on my comfort. Guys, that's a troubling thing that we find with Daniel. That's a very, very troubling thing that we find inside Daniel, because Daniel is surrounded by individuals who grew up with him, individuals who understood God's word, who understood their place as God's people, and yet they compromised. So Daniel's choice caused him to be separated from those around him. You see, Daniel was a remarkable young man, and since we live in a day, in an age of compromise, I think that there's an awful lot that we can learn from looking at his life. You see, godly character is something that causes us not to bow to the culture that is what the culture is mandating. And Daniel, as we pointed last week, he was very respectful in doing so. I mean, I love that about Daniel. He wasn't a jerk about it. You know, he didn't come across, you know, over aggressive. Daniel understood who he was in God, and that was what was most important in his life. And because of Daniel's upright character, God gave him and his three friends some pretty special positions in front of the king. So if you would join me in Daniel chapter 1, verses 17 through 20. And my voice is kind of tired today, so I'm going to ask everybody to read with me up here. Daniel chapter 1, verses 17 through 20. Ready? 1, 2, 3. As for these four youths, God gave them learning and skill in all literature and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Pause right there. Let me ask you the question. Who gave them skill in learning? It was God who gave them. We're going to come back to that. Let's just continue on, verse 18. Ready? At the end of the time, when the king had commanded that they should be brought in, the chief of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. And the king spoke with them. And among all of them, none was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. You did very good. Way to go. You got through the names. Very good job. Good job. Let's continue on here. Therefore, they stood before the king, and in every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters that were in all his kingdom. Now, here's the point I want to make. First point today. When you follow faithfully. Everybody say faithfully. When you follow faithfully after God, it will leave its mark on you. Standing in integrity and walking according to God's precepts that He has for us, adopting the character of Christ and refusing to compromise will set you apart. It will leave its mark upon you. Now, as we read there in Daniel chapter 1, there were none like these four. None like these four in terms of their ability. But there were none like these four in terms of their character, in terms of their willingness to stand and resist conforming to the culture all around them. I believe that there's a causality here. I personally believe that there's a causality. Now, before someone kind of takes us to the extreme and says, oh, so we try to act good and then God gives us things. This is not about manipulating God. We don't manipulate God. The truth is, God has so much for us. If we understood all of the things God has for us, it would blow our minds. The scripture tells us, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for those who love Him. You said, what's sad for me is I'm coming to the place to realize as I examine my life, God has more for me. But I think that there are times in my life I move myself out of position to have all that God has for me. Anybody else resonate with that? Anybody else realize that that God's got some things for me, but quite frankly, you know, here's this place and I could be in this position. We got big playoff games going on today. Oh no. Oh, I knew it, our resident Patriot fan. Okay. We'll come back to you in a moment. So it's like he said, hey, if you follow my plan, you're going to be at the right place at the right time to catch what I have for you. And we go along and it's easy for us to get distracted now, isn't it? So in following God's plan, we'll be at the right place at the right time for Him to show forth His glory in our lives. So God's favor, I believe that God's favor was something that they cultivated in their lives. And it's something that we can as well when we allow our character to become more like Christ. And you know, to be honest, I got room in my life. Anyone else have room in their life to be more like Christ? All right, I'm in good company here today. Well, how do we get there? One thing is we can begin to learn from Daniel. We can begin to learn some principles. Number one, how we do what we do. Anybody ever get frustrated on their job? No? Everybody loves it. Okay, yeah. If you get frustrated on job, well, here's some great advice for us that we can understand. Because I bet that Daniel and Hananiah, I bet his whole crew there, I bet all four of these young men were a little frustrated in the fact that they didn't get to call the shots in their life. They probably didn't like a whole lot of what was going on, but they adopted an understanding, a principle that I think we can. And that's this. Understand that what we do, do whatever you do for the Lord. Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 through 25. This is not just an Old Testament concept. This is a New Testament concept. This is a God concept. Colossians 3, 23 through 25. Paul writes, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from who? From the Lord you receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. I love what Jeremy shared with us during our offering today. You know, we think that somehow we are doing something and we're getting rewarded for our labor. It's all coming from God. Everything is God's. God wants us to be a river, not a reservoir. In other words, God doesn't want us to sit here and just get, and that flies in the face of the society and the culture in which we live. The society and culture in which we live, we get, we store up, we just more, and we don't realize that's not what God wants us to be. God wants to flow things through us. Okay? So how do we know? We understand that everything we do, we work as if we're serving the Lord. If you're frustrated on your job, you can have a wonderful transition by realizing and finding a way that what I'm doing, I'm serving as if the Lord. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 6 through 8. But as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, rendering service with the good will as to the Lord and not to man, knowing that whatever good anyone does, this he will receive back from the Lord. So this is a powerful thing for us. And we cultivate God's favor. Again, we don't sit there. God wants to bless His children. He wants to. I'm not saying that I'm not preaching some form of weird prosperity gospel where people say, oh, well, I make God do things. I believe that is heresy. I don't believe that we command God. We don't make God do anything God doesn't want to do. If we understood all that God has for us, though, it's far more than where we're functioning and what we're living in right now. Should have got an amen to that, but I didn't. That's okay. So Daniel understood this, that he embraced the character that God was working within his life, and it was transformational, and so it would be with us. I love in verse 20 how King Nebuchadnezzar sought around, and in every matter he found them 10 times better than the magicians, enchanters, and all that were in his kingdom. 10 times better. What does that tell me? Christians should be infinitely more honest employees than our non-Christian counterparts, right? Christians should not be cheating the system. Now, if you are a Christ follower, if you bear the name of Christ, in how you're functioning on your job, are you reflecting the character of God? Christians should represent Christ. We shouldn't be looking to cut corners. We shouldn't be looking to find a way to scam the system. In everything, we should be functioning and doing our service as if to God. Have you ever had somebody, you thought somebody was coming over and then it ended up being somebody different and you realize, oh wow, if I would have known it was you, I would have really cleaned up. Yeah, that's no one ever likes to hear that. I think a lot of the stuff that we do in our life, though, do we really think that we're doing it as if to Christ? When I did carpentry for a large portion of my life, and one individual whom I worked with and worked for, sometimes we would get jobs of working for a client who maybe was difficult, or maybe the principal didn't respect this individual. And this phrase drove me crazy. Because we'd be working on a project, and he'd say this, good enough for who it's, doesn't that drive you crazy? Good enough for who it's for. And every time I'd hear that phrase, I was like, yeah, but it's not good enough for me. And so I think in that terms, we get sloppy. We don't realize that everything we do reflects on the God whom we serve. Amen? And so as Christ followers, we should strive for excellence. We should strive in everything we do. Daniel and his three friends understood this concept, and man, it worked out good. Daniel and his three friends were promoted because of the impact of following God in their lives. Brothers and sisters, when you follow faithfully after God, it will leave its mark on you. That does not mean that you won't go through hard times. You see, they weren't all of a sudden, as they stood in integrity, they weren't transported out of captivity. They're still in captivity. In fact, what we're going to find in just a few sentences is that their life is going to be challenged. When you stand for Christ, it doesn't mean that hard times aren't going to come near your dwelling. What it does mean is you know where your anchor is. You know where your foundation is. So if we move on here, Daniel chapter 2. Now we're going into chapter 2, and that's all farther we're going to get is chapter 2 this week. Daniel chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Nebuchadnezzar had dreams. His spirit was troubled, and his sleep left him. Then the king commanded that the magicians, the enchanters, the sorcerers, the Chaldeans be summoned. Look, to do what? To tell the king his dreams. That's kind of crazy now. It's like, hey, look, I had a bad dream. And this is one of those guys, now he woke up obviously on the wrong side of the kingdom now. Nebuchadnezzar is not a morning person we're seeing here. And so he's telling his people, hey, you come here, now think about this, and tell me what I dreamt. It's kind of unreasonable, don't you think? Don't you think that's unreasonable? I think it's kind of over the top. Here's what we're finding. Nebuchadnezzar has a life event that's far beyond his ability to figure out. In fact, he could not process it. It was beyond him. And this made him unreasonable. Why? Because he was desperate. And desperate people can sometimes really become unreasonable. Here's my second point. God is the answer for desperate people. God is the answer for desperate people. And what we see with Nebuchadnezzar is this life event happened. This dream weighed upon him so much. And it was such a troubling event that he realized that the same old wasn't going to cut it. A lot of us have strategies and how we deal with our tough times. And some of those strategies are wonderful and good. And quite honestly, some of them maybe not so good. You know? And Nebuchadnezzar's realizing, hey, everything that I'm used to, it ain't going to cut it. You know, going out and having a beer with the buddies, you know what? That's not going to do it. Turning to some type of thing, and I can't eat my troubles away. I can't go get a box of Krispy Kremes and make it. I can't go shopping and buy something and make it all better. I can't have some relational fling and somehow meet some need. I know that there's something going on in my life, and there's only one solution, and it does not reside here on this earth. Guys, I hope I got everybody in the room. The truth is, some of us are desperate, and when we're desperate, we become unreasonable, and we realize that the answers that we're seeking for cannot be found here on this earth. Daniel chapter 2, verse 2, the Chaldeans answered the king and said, there's not a man on earth who can meet the king's demand. You know, that was actually a very good sentence. That's a very good statement, because there isn't. You know, in your life, the things that you're trying to figure out and the things you're trying to work out, newsflash, and we don't need our roving reporter, Kate, to break this down for us, okay? The newsflash is this. What you really need isn't here on earth. It is the Lord in heaven. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. And sadly, we see these responses, and this causes drama. Anybody see drama in your life from time to time? You know the thing about drama? Drama spreads. And we're going to see it. Let's go on here to chapter 2, verses 12 through 20. So the king lays out his answer. Hey, someone's got to come and tell me my dream and interpret it. And because of this, the king was angry and very furious and commanded that all the wise men of Babylon be destroyed. Now, man, let me take a little pause here, because some of us forget, what does this have to do with us here in the New Testament? Remember, after the birth of Christ, we say that magi, wise men from the east, they came and they were seeking, and they had some understanding that the King of Kings, the one who was going to fulfill prophecy, they came out. You know where they learned about these prophecies? From the direct offshoots of Daniel and his three friends. You see, there's a connection here that transcends generations. And so we see that they're all going to be wiped out. Verse 13, so the decree went out and the wise men were about to be killed. Now here's where drama spreads. And they sought Daniel and his companions to kill them. Let's all read verse 14, the highlighted underlined part together, if you would. Then Daniel replied with prudence and discretion to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, who had gone out to kill the wise men of Babylon. He declared to Arioch, the king's captain, why is this decree of the king so urgent? And Arioch made this matter known to Daniel, and Daniel went in and requested the king to appoint him a time that he might show him the interpretation to the king. Verse 17, then Daniel went to his house and made the matter known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, and told them to seek mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that Daniel and his companions might not be destroyed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision of the night, and Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Pretty cool little text there. I know there's a lot of scripture there. But here's the point that I think that we can all get. If you have drama in your life, or if drama seems to follow you, if you're just minding your own business and all of a sudden someone else's drama just comes knocking at your door, which happens? There are three things that I find from Daniel. So my final point has 3 points. Don't say I have 5 points, okay? My final point has three right replies to life's drama that we can find from the life of Daniel. And that's number one. reply with prudence and discretion. Now, what's the norm for our culture? Drama comes into our life. Something happens, and what do? We put it on Facebook, and we exaggerate it. We have an Instagram. We have some form of social media. We got to get ahead of the curve and put our spin on it. You know what happened to me today? This is what happened. Can you believe that? The nerve, the gall, the audacity. No one here has ever seen this happen. Come on, y'all. Some of you are posting it right now. That bald preacher, he's got hair. Now he's in a bad mood. Okay. No. Here's, seriously, this is how we do. Okay, so I have a problem with Spencer, Mr. Bourne. I don't. I'm just pretending that I do. So I have a problem with Mr. Bourne. How am I going to deal with this problem with Mr. Bourne? Mr. Bacon, would you like to know what's going on with me and Mr. Bourne? It's horrible. You know, hey, Snapchat friends? All right, there we go. So I'm going to share all of my dirty laundry to him about Mr. Bourne, and now I have tried to fix the problem myself. And in doing so, I have created more drama. Right. You know what? I didn't get the answer I want. Burdette, would you pray with me about a situation? Mm-hmm. Let's pray about the situation. Spencer has... You know how... Come on, somebody here today? Oh no, Pastor, we're never like that. We're at choir practice and we could never be online like that. I know how it is. And those of you who aren't online, need I say anything about the coffee shop? Oh, ladies are laughing. How about the beauty shop? Have I caught everybody yet? Come on now, you know how it is. What's real? How do we deal? Is that dealing with things with prudence and discretion? Question mark. No, that is imprudence and not having discretion. Here's why when you reply to life's drama with prudence and discretion, it eliminates unnecessary distraction. Daniel did not freak out and go make more messes. I tell you, so many of us, we are like people who see a fire and go respond with buckets of gasoline. Amen, preacher. Yes, we are. We make bigger drama. We make bigger problems. And we do not act in a prudent manner. This word prudence, a little better way to understand it, is wisdom. Daniel responded with wisdom. He acted wisely and he had conversations with who he needed to have them, with whom he needed to have them. In other words, he didn't avoid them. You see, in this example with Mr. Bourne and I, who should I be talking with? My wife. No, okay, yes, Mr. Bourne. Because she'll always take my side and tell me that I'm right. Right? No, the bottom line, I should be having a conversation with Mr. Bourne. But I don't want to have a conversation with Mr. Bourne. I'd rather be validated by sharing my perception of the truth, which, by the way, there's two sides to every story, aren't they? Aren't there? Yes. Okay, so I don't want that. I avoid it. Daniel's not avoiding it. Daniel has the conversations with whom he needs to have them. And for many of us here today, there are people whom you need to speak with. Amen, preacher. Thank you. And we refuse to do them. In doing so, we are not acting prudently. We are not acting wisely. That's good word. Isn't that good? Y'all don't look like it's good. So, second point. Take it to the Lord in prayer. You see, just like there are things that we don't need to be sharing all over the place, there are certain things inside of our life that we really ought to be sharing. And I get it. I mean, I'm frustrated now because, you know, we have all these HIPAA laws and everyone's coming around because we want to value people's privacy. But the bottom line, there are times, you know, see, Daniel sought out, he knew whom God had placed in his life who would really pray. And he shared some really scary stuff with them. Some life-threatening stuff. And guys and gals, all of us here today, there are some things in our life that we don't share to anybody. Statistically speaking, see, if we have 100 people in this room, 20 of us will be struggling with pornography, statistically speaking. What? That's a big stat. It's kind of troubling now, isn't it? I wouldn't share that. Really? You know, of the things that you need to share, the things that we don't share more often than not are the things that we need to share. Some of us, gambling addictions. Trouble in our marriages. Trouble, so if we look about abuse, look at all these different pieces. There are things that we desperately need to share. Why? Because the solution is not here on earth. It is a Father in heaven. And so just like certain drama we don't want to go put out there, there are certain things who you need to go and join with the people whom God has placed in your life, the people who are near, who are walking with you, and who will pray God's will and God's answers and God's solution and hold you accountable. Amen? Amen. There are times in life we have to share. We weren't called to walk through this alone. And you see, the beautiful thing is what we see with Daniel and how he responds is Daniel gets it. Daniel understands that I believe that God has this. It's not up to me. So Daniel goes, he acts prudently. He has the conversations with who he needs to have to. He doesn't have conversations with people whom he doesn't. And he brings it into a prayer focus, which brings me to my third point. Bless the God of heaven. You see, Daniel worshiped. Daniel worshiped. And you know what? If we really want an understanding of, look at how we worship. I know in a few hours, some of us are going to watch football. Yeah. And some of us, our team is going to drive down, and despite an injured finger, I don't know what might happen, we're going to throw a touchdown pass and we're going to say, that was great. Yay. Yeah, you know where I'm going. I say this all the time. I'm not trying to get at people's personality and cause you to not be true to who you are, but I want you to be true to whom you are. Be true to who you are. Be true to how God made you. And our level of worship should say something about the God whom we serve. I tell you what, I'm thankful that my eternity is not saddled upon my ability to keep myself holy enough. I can't make myself good enough. Thanks be to God that I can serve Him with a thankful heart because He is my righteousness. Jesus Christ is my I have His righteousness imputed to me because I put my faith in Him. And so for all of us, gang, that should do something. As Daniel, he gets this revelation of the dream and that there was going to be a series of kingdoms that were going to come up and that ultimately God is in charge of it all. He comes and he shares all this and the king asks him, look, how did you get this? And he said, look, it wasn't me. There's not a... In fact, let's just look at that. Daniel chapter 2, verses 27. He says, Daniel answered the king and said, no, wise men, enchanters, magicians or astrologers can show the king the mystery that the king has asked. Verse 28, but there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. My church family, whatever drama, whatever crisis, whatever's going on in your life, I got great news for you. God is the answer. Quit making other drama. Quit throwing gasoline on a fire. Deal with wisdom and prudence. Take it to the Lord in prayer. And don't forget to worship God. Keep yourself plugged in. Amen.
The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning there is Sunday school offered for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.